The first initiative under AUKUS is our shared ambition to support Australia.
A new underwater security pact surfaces. It's Monday, September 20th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online. Find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, world leaders gather in New York. China's video game rules. News from space. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The United States, Britain, and Australia are hailing the announcement of a new security pact that will see Australia getting U.S. nuclear-powered submarine technology in a bid to counter China in the Indo-Pacific. China has condemned the deal, and France is outraged after Australia abandoned its submarine deal with Paris. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has more.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin welcomed Australia's Foreign Secretary and Defense Secretary to the State Department to hail their new trilateral defense partnership known as AUKUS, which includes the United Kingdom.
The first initiative under AUKUS is our shared ambition to support Australia acquiring nuclear-powered submarines for the Royal Australian Navy.
The deal angered both China and France, with Beijing saying it undermines regional peace and stability. France has been working on a conventional submarine deal with Australia for years, and top officials in Paris said they felt stabbed in the back that the U.S. did not even consult them.
C'est une énorme déception.
It's a huge disappointment, especially as all the teams have been working hard for 5 years to ensure the proper implementation and smooth running of this major contract, which was to provide Australia with 12 conventionally powered submarines, as requested.
Blinken sought to tamp down the outrage in Paris, saying the U.S. wants Europe involved in the Pacific.
And as I said, France in particular is a vital partner on this, on so many other things. Stretching back a long, long time, but also stretching forward into the future.
Australia's defense minister tried to explain what happened with France, saying Canberra's navy advised them they needed nuclear-powered submarines instead of conventional submarines.
And so we looked at what options were available to us. The French have a version which was not superior to that operated by the United States and the United Kingdom.
Secretary Austin addressed China.
On the issue of China, let me just emphasize up front that, you know, this agreement, this relationship is not aimed at anything or anyone. It's the intent here is to help improve our trilateral cooperation and our capabilities across the board.
One expert told VOA the nuclear submarine deal shows China may have gone too far in pressuring Australia and others in the Indo-Pacific. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
We have more on this story. You can find it online at Twitter at VOA Asia, as well as Facebook and the VOAnews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Photos show North Korea expanding uranium enrichment plant. Vietnamese President's Laos visit seen as effort to maintain influence. Boxer Senator Manny Pacquiao to run for Philippine president. Former Malaysia Prime Minister Najib may seek re-election to parliament despite conviction. China's new stock exchange eyes small and medium-sized companies. Expanded coverage of all these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and our website, voanews.com. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. New York this week will see one of its first large gatherings since the coronavirus pandemic, when more than 100 world leaders are expected to return to the United Nations for their annual meetings. VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir reports.
A scaled-back version of the annual United Nations General Assembly is planned. World leaders have the option of attending in person with a very small delegation or sending a video message. Some 125 leaders are expected in New York, where officials will take on pressing issues.
Our world is edging towards a new abnormal, more chaotic, more insecure, more dangerous for everyone. We are moving in the wrong direction.
The week will begin with talks on climate action. Guterres and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson will meet with a few dozen other leaders. Their goal is to encourage more ambitious commitments to slow global warming and fund adaptation and mitigation efforts ahead of a key climate conference 6 weeks from now in Scotland.
We really are out of time. We must act now to prevent further irreversible damage.
Halting the COVID-19 pandemic through global vaccination is the other urgent priority. The World Health Organization has set mid-2022 as its target for 70% of the world's population to be vaccinated. But poorer countries are not on track to reach this. On Wednesday, U.S. President Joe Biden will convene a virtual meeting on ways to curb the spread of the virus.
President Biden is committed to leading in concert with our allies and partners across the globe to stop the COVID-19 pandemic. We are building a coalition of governments, businesses, international institutions, and civil society to expand vaccine production, accelerate access to vaccines and life-saving treatment, and strengthen health systems around the globe.
But overshadowing these twin global crises is the latest geopolitical one, Afghanistan.
Afghanistan represents an enormous humanitarian challenge for the United Nations. And it's going to be UN agencies who are responsible for keeping Afghans alive during a period of hunger and political chaos.
G20 ministers meet Wednesday to discuss developments in Afghanistan. World leaders are also expected to address the issue during one-on-one talks. The Taliban's takeover is likely to figure prominently in Western leaders' speeches during the general debate, especially on the need to protect progress made on the rights of women and girls.
There's not very much the General Assembly can do to force the Taliban to protect those rights.
With only a week to cover many pressing issues, leaders will have little time to enjoy New York City, which has begun to reopen its museums, restaurants, and Broadway theaters. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, another large gathering at the U.S. Capitol. Happening now in Asia, Vaccine Minister Tara Cono said the country needs to stand up against China by cooperating with countries that share the same values, but said an increase in Japan's military power to confront China is not an ideal solution. He's one of several candidates to be Prime Minister of Japan. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We continue with VOA Asia. China has new rules for minors playing online games, and the global gaming industry is wondering what's next. Michelle Quinn tells us more.
Playing video games for only 3 hours a week. That's the new rule in China for players 17 years old and younger. The global gaming industry is wondering what the long-term impact of these restrictions will be.
It's just been someone really yanked back on the reins, and we're waiting to see what happens when the horse starts to go.
For years, the Chinese government has worked to counter the influence of gaming on young people. Now, with the new rules, young gamers can play for 1 hour, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m.
So I think the government is saying, we were not kidding. We want our kids to stop playing games all the time.
In China, teenagers recently talked to Agence France-Presse about the new rules.
It's like there's a fight between two thoughts in my head. One says, this regulation not allowing me to play games is so annoying. And the other says, you are in your last year of high school. You should be studying. This is a good regulation. I feel conflicted.
Some of my classmates may use their parents' ID to register for the games or buy a game account without restrictions, which isn't too expensive anyways.
Another change? Gaming companies, not parents, enforce the rules. Tencent, the Shenzhen-based maker of Honor of Kings and League of Legends, is using facial recognition technology dubbed Midnight Patrol, which reportedly flags players who might be young and playing after curfew. If they don't check in with their face ID, they are blocked from the game. James Steyer, who has long advocated for more education about the effects of gaming, sees an opportunity in the new China gaming rules.
And I think it's the source of very positive, healthy discussion about how to find a healthy media diet, the right balance for your children and teenagers, and quite honestly, for yourself.
Many young players hoping to compete in esports, global competitive online gaming tournaments, won't be able to put in the time to hone their skills, says Warren Hong, 26, a gamer from Oakland, California. He started playing at 11 and got more serious as a teenager traveling to compete.
It's going to be a big hit for a lot of like up-and-coming Chinese gamers. If they really want to play these games, they're only going to get to play one game a day, three games a week. And that's just going to be really tough because you're going to have to compete with people from, you have to compete with people who are playing like 8 hours a day, every single day. And then it's going to be really hard to keep up with them.
In the short term, Hansen says the new rules in China might not affect gaming companies' bottom line. But the long-term forecast for the industry will likely change. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Another commercial spaceflight company is launching into the space tourism business, plus more spacewalks outside of the International Space Station, and even some beauty tips from astronauts on board. VOA's Arash Arabasadi brings us news from space.
Private spaceflight company SpaceX joined Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic as the latest member of the Space Tourism Club. All four passengers aboard the Dragon capsule are amateur astronauts, a first in 60 years of human spaceflight. They include two contest winners, a cancer-surviving healthcare worker, and a 38-year-old billionaire CEO financing the entire operation. The three-day mission called Inspiration 4 will circle the planet at an altitude of roughly 540 kilometers. Inspiration 4's crew brings to 14 the number of people in space at a given time, which is a record high from the previous number, 13.
I think there's a lot of points to our mission, and a big one is to inspire people to push boundaries. And we're pushing boundaries in a lot of different ways. The $200 million fundraising effort for St. Jude is the largest fundraising effort that St. Jude has ever seen. And that money is going to go to cancer research and to helping kids and to fund treatment.
Haley Arsenault was referring to St. Jude Children's Hospital, a nonprofit that treats childhood cancers, where she was a patient and is now a physician's assistant. A bone cancer diagnosis when she was 10 meant much of her thigh had to be replaced with a titanium rod. Arsenault is now the youngest American ever in space and the first to make the trip with a prosthesis. The capsule carries items intended for a fundraising auction to benefit St. Jude. In other news, fresh off the heels of last week's spacewalk, two astronauts aboard the ISS ventured out to install a mounting bracket and work on other primary tasks. The nearly seven-hour job featured ESA astronaut Tomas Pesquet and Japan's Akihiko Hoshide. Their work sets up a future spacewalk to install another modern solar array. And finally,
I'm going to go ahead and put some of this no-rinse shampoo, and then I go ahead and I rub it in a little bit, just like you would on Earth. Rub that in.
From inside the ISS, NASA astronaut Megan MacArthur shares tips for space travelers. As commercial spaceflight takes off, advice from grooming to eating to putting on clothes may become increasingly relevant to those who can afford the trip. For now, though, trips are relatively short, and even the SpaceX three-day journey involves zero showers, one toilet, and crew chairs as beds. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Thank you for joining us today. Continue with us online. We're at Facebook at VOA Asia, also on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And, of course, you can find our programs at our website, voanews.com. We also thank our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Heibels, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.